internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello and welcome to The Gamer Show, our first anniversary, or technically our first anniversary plus a week, because we should have recorded this last weekend, but unfortunately rugby and weddings got in the way. Sam's girlfriend was away, so that meant that he could spend a weekend in his underpants playing Total War games, and there was no chance of us breaking that habit, so...
Yeah.
So that was fun.
That makes for a beautiful segue, actually, Paul, because... Total War have just announced that their release date is now September the 3rd.
So you could legitimately look forward to the next Total War game every week.
Yeah.
So you can book that day off work.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's been a year we've been doing this podcast. I would encourage people to go back and listen to the first one and realise just how little we've improved over the past 12 months.
I think we've declined.
Yeah.
And I think the number of listeners has probably dropped from zero to cats who vaguely listen to it.
I know. You know... Chiz went to all the effort of bringing a cake.
Oh, and Paul has as well.
I actually bought a birthday cake.
I was going to bake a cake, but I couldn't be asked.
So we have two cakes, and Sam's girlfriend also gave us Garibaldi biscuits because, and I quote, she says they sound like they should be Indian food.
She told me it sounds like you should be saying, "Oh, do you fancy a nice bowl of hot Garibaldi?"
It's uncanny like her as well.
That was the voice she tried to put on.
Look at that, a caterpillar cake. A Tesco owned caterpillar.
Huzzah. Cake. We have more to eat today than ever before.
Thank you. 142.
I killed it.
Oh. There's a knife in it. Anyway, so this isn't really all that very entertaining for listeners, so much like the rest of the podcast will be.
You could have told me you had that before I ate half the carrot cake I brought. Now I'm just going to feel horrible.
You have actually eaten half the cake as well. And I had a slice, but...
And I'm not eating the carrot cake. Anyway, so while we tuck into our two cakes...
You can all sod off and entertain yourselves.
If I throw the nuts at you, will your eyes going to swell up?
No, it's not that bad. It just makes me unwell.
I might try it anyway.
So, anyway, we will try and muddle our way through the news and things like that while we devour some cake. I'm having the end bit with the chocolate on it before you guys get there.
He always likes the end.
So, the first news article...
Which end are you eating, Paul?
I'm eating its end.
Which end, Paul?
It's arse.
The anus. The tastiest piece of the caterpillar.
It is very tender. If you boil it for quite a long time... It's very tender.
Anyway,
I'd just like to know... What happened there?
I don't know. I carry on.
Are we still going?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I hear that's how they do anal bleaching as well.
Yeah, it is. I'd just like to point out that you sat up here with that sharp knife and those plates while Chiz footled them out.
Yeah, I find this fake and just let him. If you've got three small plates in your whole house, and you had left one for this cake.
You're an asswipe.
I had to use paper towels. I spit cake over me.
Scrape the chocolate out of my eyes. Caterpillar anus.
Anyway,
in my
go on. So, out of the news.
It explains all the splashback on your monitors that does.
Or out of the news. So, apparently Nintendo has released some kind of a development environment to allow popular smartphone games to be ported over into the Wii U. This was a report that came out in Japan Times last week, actually, on Monday. It's unclear whether this will run on the TV or on the gamepad itself, but...
I'm just watching Sam struggle with a caterpillar.
What's your thoughts here, guys? Is this going to help the Wii U? Is this...
Something needs to.
I don't know, I quite like it. I think it could do to bring out some more games.
I'm just saying that not much. Paul, you had
stealing it was
other people's chocolate now. That was my anus.
But it was the other day I was really tempted to buy Nintendo because the Wii U, because I think it was as they were selling it, the payment for £200. And just when I was like, I mulled over it for about 1 hour. I mean, I'm back to the website, going, right, I'll go for it, and it was all sold out. It was sold out really quickly.
£200 for the premium?
Yeah.
That can weigh any games?
Nintendo Land. Oh. So it's quite. I thought it was quite a good. Yeah. The, the basic model you can buy, they've still got that in stock. Last I checked, to £150. Mm-hmm. So that's, if you're interested in Nintendo Wii U, which sounds pretty good pricing, I think.
Yep.
But at the same time, I was thinking, apart from Zombie U, there's not really anything that grabs me. That grabs me. It's Nintendo Land's fun with a group, but on your own, it's a waste of time.
Definitely.
And so. I missed out on that deal, but the way I'm looking at it, I'll just wait till Nintendo actually start bringing stuff out. And apparently, there's a proper 3D Mario game they're going to be showing off at E3, and hopefully,
I'm not allowed to speak about Mario, but you are.
I can mention it, and that was it.
There's a big highlight in the show notes this week that I'm not allowed to speak about Minecraft or Mario.
Yeah, because the difference is I don't get hard on when I talk about it. very off putting.
That's only because of the problem.
Yeah. And
anyway,
and the chaps I wear,
chastity chaps,
corrugated iron.
Yes, so a 3D Mario game,
apparently. Yeah, but yeah. That was always my input. Was I'm tempted by a Wii U, but I'll wait till the end of the year, I suppose, to see what comes
out.
Eat
the slice you've got.
Go on. Apparently, EA has secured exclusive rights to the Star Wars game development.
Yeah.
The deal announced last Monday will see EA develop Star Wars titles for a core gaming audience, with games spanning all interactive platforms and the most popular game genres. But apparently, Disney will retain the rights to mobile, social, and tablet and online gaming experiences.
What was the end of that quote?
The previous one.
Yeah.
With games spanning all interactive platforms and the most popular game genres.
It's that part of the quote that puts me off.
In what way?
I don't know, that just makes it sound like it's going to be naff.
Well,
mass churned out guff.
Apparently, well...
It depends what developer at EA's got control. They get to make it. For example, which I mentioned in a past podcast, I imagine it was DICE making a Battlefront, a Battlefront game, which now looks, could well be likely.
Yeah. Well,
and
DICE,
using the Frostbite, the new Frostbite 3 engine, which, like a massive warfare where things getting blown up with various stuff and vehicles. Sounds good to me.
Stuff and vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff.
Apparently EA label president Frank Gebur, which probably that's nobody even close to how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, even if it was Smith, you'd still pronounce it.
DICE and Visceral will produce the new games, joining the BioWare team, which continues to develop for the Star Wars franchise. The new experience will create may borrow from films, but the games will be entirely original and all new stories and gameplay. However, in the whole article, and any article since this announcement last Monday, there is absolutely zero mention of 1313 or Star Wars First Assault. Yeah, I know we spoke about this in the last podcast, it's gone, but it looked that promising that you can't help but think that there's a chance that the deal might have passed the IP over in some way.
You never know, but I think it's more promising that it's with the developers EA have at their disposal that we'll hopefully get at least a couple of good games out of them rather than what it's LucasArts have been doing the past decade. So.
Yep. Call of Duty Ghosts first trailer confirms release of on the new Xboxes.
New Xboxes?
Mm-hmm. Two of them. I'm releasing two.
What? Can you give us any details on this second one?
Well, I'm assuming Xbox will release more than one Xbox to the entire world and everybody has to queue up to use it. So there's going to be more than one Xbox.
Yeah, but you said
it's just a really big one with a lot of controllers.
Yeah, but you also said there's going to be two, so there's only going to be two because the whole world's going to share. Yeah, okay.
Well, at least it's halving the queue.
Anyway. In southern hemispheres.
So Call of Duty Ghost has released a trailer. It had absolutely zero gameplay in it.
No. The only thing that interests me, even though I'm kind of bored of Call of Duty these days, is it's actually a new game engine, which, because they've been using the same, even though it's been enhanced and changed, it's still the same game engine that used since Call of Duty 4.
Yep.
So that's piqued my interest, and I'll see what it's like, but it has to obviously change up, because as good as Call of Duty is, it's a good, solid, fun game, but for me, it's kind of been there, done that, and it's basically it's the same game every year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it is very well done, but I'm kind of a bit bored of it now.
Cool.
It has piqued my interest because it's next gen and I like to see what it looks like.
You know, it's interested me that much that I got the new Black Ops at Christmas and I have yet to release it from its
cellophane wrapper.
It's sitting over there unreleased yet. And it's I'm not going to go into the moan again that we regularly moan about, that we don't have time to play everything that we want to play. But equally, that just hasn't really come... I've never really been that interested
When you have wanted to sit down and play games, there's always been someone else you wanted to play before it.
Exactly, yeah. And it has not been Minecraft, because I'm not allowed to say Minecraft.
No. Oh, God, there it is. Hang on.
Note down the times and we're going to bleep them out.
Seriously, it's like it mouths my name as well. It's weird.
Okay. Right, okay.
No.
Minecraft. You don't want me to bleep Minecraft?
No, I can't.
Okay. That's fine. In other items in our news bucket this evening, apparently a new game called Game Development Tycoon has targeted pirates with a torrented version of the game. Which I think is genius. I guess it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
So basically what this is a developer, Greenheart, created this game, which is called Game Developer Tycoon, or Game Dev Tycoon, rather. And what it did was it created a duplicate of the game and released it to some of the most popular torrent sharing sites. Number one torrent sharing site. But it had one major difference in the game. And basically what that was eventually at some point in the game, your money starts depleting because the game that you've created in the game has started being pirated, and eventually your company in the game goes bankrupt. And that's the end of the game.
Yeah, no matter what you can do, your games always get pirated in this game. It's a really funny bit at the bottom. Someone's actually went on Steam to say, "Oh God, help! My games keep getting pirated." Blah, blah. That's because you're playing a pirate copy of the game.
Yeah, apparently there was a quote somewhere. I'm trying to find it in the article here, somebody in one of the forums asking about how to go about researching virtual DRM to help solve the issue. Absolutely superb.
And the irony straight over his top of his head.
Absolutely superb. So I actually meant to buy this game, but just purely to support this developer.
I'm quite interested because I think it sounds quite a cool little idea.
It's only $8 as well, which presumably, what, 6 quid? 5, 6 quid?
No,
five,
no, that's probably £16.
it goes on, and it's something we've moaned about regularly on this show, and it's a quote from the blog of the developers. If pirates are put through the same trouble, put through more trouble than genuine customers, maybe more will buy the real game. Sadly, for AAA games, it's currently the other way. Customers get the trouble with always-on requirements and intrusive DRM, while pirates can just download and enjoy a twisted world.
It's like I posted, there was someone else put it's not the only company it's attempted to battle it that way, where there's been pirate versions of a few other games that have been posted. Like there was a serious Sam game where in the first level you encounter a massive pink scorpion which is an invincible.
Nice.
And there's also I don't remember the name of the game, but it basically it always crashes right at the very end of the game. It'll crash right before you see before you can fight. It's a final battle, and when it crashes, it erases your save file. So even though you've played hours and hours in, you've lost everything.
That's
a good way of doing it as well. And there's Mirror's Edge, where right before you get to the end of a platform to jump, your character slows the hell down so you can never make the jump, no matter how fast you try and run.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes because it's an article in IGN. It's 8 of the most hilarious anti-piracy measures in video games.
It's really quite clever and quite fun thing to do.
Yeah, so I'll put a link in the show notes for that so you can go and peruse at your leisure. But they're absolutely superb, and I fully intend to buy the game. Whether I actually play it or not, it's a different story, but I intend to buy it just to support them.
Especially when it's such a small developer and they're selling a game for such a low price as well. I was like, why would you pirate it?
Exactly.
Just thinking about it as well. If developers didn't have to put money into researching methods of DRM and stuff, theoretically, they could lower their prices by a reasonably hefty chunk. So, if not for the actions of certain people, then everyone would be happier.
Mm-hmm. I think it's unlikely when you look at the AAA titles. While I totally accept your theory, I think it's highly unlikely AAA titles, if piracy went away tomorrow, they would drop the prices.
Yeah. Is that because they're people? I did give you the little pen sign, but it has to be said.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're companies, they've got shareholder interests, and so on and so forth.
And you give some folk, there's a lot of folk at Pirate who defend their action and say, well, it's games cost too much and I can't really afford it, so that's why I do it. But it's just like, yeah, but same way, I can't afford a Ferrari, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go and steal one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like save your money and buy it when you can. It's just because you can't afford it right now, it doesn't mean you can't afford to buy it later on.
This is going
to
sound like a very much old man rant, but...
No, not from you, Sam. Yeah.
People are very much kind of, I have to have it, and if I want it, I have to have it now.
Yeah.
And I'll put it on my credit card, and I'll pay 1.5 times. I know it's not, but...
Well,
I'll pay,
it's on some credit cards you
I'll pay more for it in the long run, but it doesn't matter because I'm not paying it for it now. If you can't afford it, why not save up your pocket money? You don't remember when you were a little kid and you were saving up for something and then you finally got enough for it and it was like, yes! Awesome days.
Yep. So, anyway, while we're on... Oh, actually, that's quite a nice segue. While we're back in the
60s... Why do you always have to mention... Just ruin the segue.
No, actually, that was mine.
Exactly.
I knew what was coming up, and that's how you do it, Paul.
So, back in the 60s, this is where this game is based, the Bureau... Declassified has been revealed and a trailer has been released.
So it's stayed as actually been because we thought in the last podcast it was no longer going to be an XCOM game, but it is an XCOM game.
Yep.
Which makes Sam a bit happier.
It does, actually.
So apparently they've re-revealed because it was originally announced in 2010, but a month ago, as Chiss says, we thought it had died, but it's come back, but it's evolved. Originally was a first-person shooter, it's now a third-person shooter. The trailer that's been released, again, shows absolutely no in-game, but...
I've seen some since.
Have you? Oh, right, okay, I haven't seen anyone.
It looks very much like, imagine it's Mass Effect, but in a 60s...
All right, okay.
Genre thing, and like the way it's the combat plays out, because it's very much a tactical shooter. Mm-hmm. Although I suspect it'd be more in depth than Mass Effect. You control the one guy, and you control your squad, and you obviously have to take down its alien threat. And it's that same as past XCOM games. If your guy dies, if you lose a teammate, he's gone, and you have to bring in a new one and
train him up again.
So it's heartbreaking when you get attached to your characters.
you do though.
It's the same. Like it's the only game that I apart from XCOM where you get attached to someone when they die, you physically scream their name out. No! Cannon fodder.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Cannon fodder was awesome.
It was. Billy! No, Billy!
I've forgotten cannon fodder. What was... I recognise the name, but I can't remember the game.
Yeah, little army guys. You had a group.
A group of four, and you controlled them with a mouse.
Yes, and they walked along in a little row when you were... I do remember that.
And you saw the massive row of people who were queuing up to join the army, and then when you lost guys, little tombstones appeared on the hill.
Yes, yes. And that was a good game.
It was a brilliant game.
British-made game as well.
Yeah.
Same guys made Sensible Soccer and stuff like that, which is another awesome game from the past, which you guys didn't probably appreciate.
No.
No, I did. There was... I quite like Kickoff 2. Primarily because there was a hack button. And
professional football button.
No, it was called hack on Kickoff 2. And you basically, your guy just kind of looked like he was doing a drop kick, kind of right across vertical of the screen. And just took out somebody. It was great. Anyway.
Same light, then I quite like Blood Bowl. Which is like two
Blood
teams.
Blood Bowl is awesome.
There's a newer version. It's really quite good, actually. And your team's just... hack and smash, and in the case of the goblins, pogo each other to death, which is quite fantastic.
Oh no! What was other? I'm not thinking of Blood Bowl. What was the other one? It was like a futuristic game where you held the ball and you throw it.
The ball glowed.
Yeah, I know what you're on about.
It's back in the Mega Drive days.
What was it called?
They did a film of it.
A film that had something to do.
It was like a steel ball, and it glowed kind of blue. I can't remember the name of that. If anybody remembers the name of that when they're listening, please tweet us or email us because we can't remember
Dread
what it is.
Ball
is it think of something like that.
Superdome or something, I don't know.
Anyway.
They did a film of it afterwards and then they've...
I don't know if the game came from a past film though, because the film was...
There was an 80s film and there's a remake that was done about 3 years ago.
James Caan or someone, was he in the past one? I can't remember yet.
Anyway, we've disappeared off on XCOM Declassified. Just to close that one off.
I'm excited about it.
Sam's excited about it, and it will be released on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and PC on August 20th, 2013 in North America, and August 23rd...
Not too far off.
August 23rd internationally.
I think I'll be getting that.
Cool. The next, I'm going to go to Microsoft now. We've only really got two kind of major articles left. But Microsoft have announced an Xbox event on May the 21st. It's going to be streamed, apparently, on Xbox.com, on your Xbox. And it's going to be streamed. If you're in the States, it's going to be streamed somewhere else. And I should have actually
game trailers
had this.
Like Spike TV or something.
Spike TV, that's it. Yeah, it's going to be in Spike TV if you're in the States, but you don't have access to that in the UK.
You can watch it on Game Trailers here.
Can you? Yeah. All right, okay.
Which is the same thing as Spike TV. Basically, yeah. It's the same company, I think.
So it'll be 6 PM UK time, but it's 10 AM in Redmond. CVG reports that among a string of AAA announcements, Microsoft is expected to disclose a key partnership with at least one major publisher. Wow. CVG has been told that EA will be revealed as one Xbox partner and will support the platform with exclusive content. Yeah. That's kind of normal, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, everything's kind of rumours just now, but is there any sort of games that you would love to see for it launch? Well, I'd love to see a Halo 5, but it's too soon for it, I would say. They might show something
off. Yeah, they might show something off.
I doubt it would be a launch game.
Call of Duty Ghosts.
I thought they weren't doing it. I thought they were going off and doing other things.
It's not Bungie that are making it anymore. There was Halo 4, but that wasn't made by Bungie.
Thought they were like 343
are doing
it now.
No. Halo 4 started a new trilogy. Halo 4 is part one of a new trilogy.
All right.
So it's Halo 5 and then Halo 6, I assume.
Okay.
Wow, is that how trilogies go?
It's a sod in
three in a row.
Yeah.
Wow. Call of Duty Ghosts that we mentioned before, that's likely, apparently they're going to be on stage.
Yeah. And so, it's Respawn's new game, something about them, we're owned by EA now, isn't it?
Yep. The cast of Call of Duty are going to be on stage.
Every single one of them.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're going to do a sing-off with the cast of Glee.
Okay. I would like.
I hope they're supplying air bubbles and syringes.
We're quite interested. I suppose the two main things that a lot of people are looking forward to seeing off the back of this announcement is, will it go ahead and block pre-owned games, and will it require Always On?
Apparently not.
Yes. So on Monday, Ars Technica reported that the Xbox will play
so
games.
Where Ars Technica?
Yeah. Have you never heard of Ars Technica?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's a tech blog. ARS, not ARSE. There's a chap who's not been on the photo show for a little while on British Tech Network, and he works for Ars Technica. You've got to be careful and say Ars, not Ars Technica.
I thought there was they were just taking the mic because you just talked a lot of rubbish.
No, it's a fairly legitimate tech blog.
Okay. We should set up Ars Technica where we are. Yeah, it's because we talk.
Hell yeah.
But let's change the name of our podcast to Ars Technica.
So apparently there was a leaked email which was sent to full-time members of the Xbox team confirming that it will not require an active connection. And it will play games, run Blu-rays, and show live television without an active internet connection.
Well, I'm finding quite amusing is, since this whole thing about the always needing connection to the web is Sony have said they've never considered that. It's like,
I bet
they did, but they're just trying to make themselves look good. But we're never. It's good that they're not doing it, but I bet they did. We would never do that to the customers. We didn't even consider
it would, frankly, almost have been worth it for them to leak the information that they were thinking about it to then judge the public's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then deny it.
Well, there's a theory going around that that's got something to do with it. I don't think it was an on-purpose leak, unless they forced poor... What do you call the guy that we berated a couple of shows ago?
The Orf blatantly wanted to be fired.
Well, it's being that he got fired, I think it's unlikely that there was a leak on purpose, but...
They say that he got fired, but, like, we should now go and see if he's been picked up by like a sub company owned by Microsoft.
Ybox.
And put into a higher paid job. Like, oh, Orth's been fired.
Mm. There you go, Orth.
He now works at Soft Micro.
Yeah. On a 12 million annual pay.
Keeping on the Microsoft theme, Lumiroom has gotten a little bit more information. So we talked about this a few months back.
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
Yeah, aluminum. Aluminum. It's how Americans pronounce aluminium.
Ah.
It's just like a bit of metal sheet in front of you.
Which, incidentally, because I'm sad and I look into these things and I like pronunciation and words, actually, aluminum is how it should be said.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that
really
the other day.
Really depressing.
Actually, in a related thing...
I'm sorry, it's true.
Chiz just punched Sam. That was that noise.
Yeah.
Disapproved so much.
I was pretty furious.
I found an article about unused swear words.
Do we have to bring them back?
Yes.
No, it was like old ones.
And, FUD. I miss FUD.
That's a good one. I don't think you have to bleep FUD.
I don't think you do.
I don't think people know what it means anymore.
It'd be all right.
No, I think you do.
No,
we're not going down the whole shag dog rug thing we started last
time. Oh, yeah.
You remember in high school, putting, oh, shut up, you FUD.
Yeah. We've got another one. Thank you.
Chase, anyway, how's the breeding of the shug going?
Not so well.
Did you get the mop to mount the pug?
Right, okay, so the Illumirum...
I think they're both males. It's not stopped them, but they're both males.
Illumirum, right. Sam, this was... it came out of CES. We talked about it beginning of the year.
Uh-huh.
Basically what this is a projector. Just pulled his forehead off. And his eye, right, okay. It's a projector that kind of... that basically creates the environment around the telly.
Yeah, I know about this.
What?
I know about this.
So... he did sound as if he didn't know what we were talking about to begin with.
No, I just wanted you to say the name again.
Illumirum, right, okay. So, apparently more details were revealed at CHI 2013 in Paris a couple of weeks ago. So it was the week after we last recorded. The trailer that is basically the same one at CES, I watched it again. No, excuse me.
It looks pretty good. It looks like it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah?
It's a proof of concept thing, so it's not like... Because at the moment it is a projector with a Kinect staple to it.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
I like how they've done it in a room with like bookshelves and stuff around it as well, so you can see that it kind of works against that backdrop.
I really like... They showed a demo of driving down the like a racetrack, like a Formula One game, and you know, when you're driving underneath like bridges and stuff like that.
If you're going through... it's the tunnel in Monaco, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And so you get like flashes of light kind of flying towards you and stuff like that. It looked really, really cool. It showed in kind of a Portal game, they can actually saturate the room around you to make it look more as if it's in part of the game and stuff like that. So
and it's built for like out of the screen and things like that, explosions. And I think it was quite a cool thing.
Yeah. So
I don't know what the price point, or even if it's going to be a final thing, but the price, if it's going to be heavily expensive, it might not be worth it. But still,
it's really cool.
Piqued my interest.
It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently this has come back in the news because Microsoft researchers were chatting about it at CHI 2013.
Wow. I doubt it'll be anything that'll happen within the next year or two, but maybe down the line something.
Yep.
On the Xbox, the latest rumour is that it's going to be called Xbox Infinity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is a much better name than 720.
Well, not really. Where did they go after that? Infinity plus two.
And beyond!
Beyond, Xbox Beyond.
Yeah.
Get that trademark now.
It's not the best name in the world, but it's not by some of the other names that have been going around. It was codenamed Durango, which was never going to be called. That was just the project name.
I like that name.
and the Xbox 720 was always a stupid name anyway. Like someone just made that up and went, oh, times 2 to 360, there we go.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the Xbox One was like half of 360.
I know.
It wasn't like the Xbox 180. Stop picking at the chocolate and take a slice.
It's not picking at the chocolate. I like the little fruity bits.
He's just pushing his finger in so we have to taste his cheese nails.
Well, it's more the faggy reek of his fingers than the chocolate.
Because I smoke.
And we don't mean smoking.
Anyway, we are halfway through the show and we've still not finished all the news yet. So... very, very quickly, I thought this is a really small one that I thought was quite interesting. So Mike Ambinder, who is Valve's experimental psychologist, was talking at Eurogaming conference last week. And apparently Valve have been testing eye motion in Portal 2 and sweat responses in Left 4 Dead. And this is in Gadget Reporting. This is quite a long blurb here, but I thought it was quite interesting. In Left 4 Dead, test subjects had their sweat monitored with values assigned to how much they were responding to the action. Sorry, I don't that word just completely like turned into gobbledygook for me. I couldn't read it.
That was
Weird.
This data was fed back into the game where designers attempted to modify and improve the experience. In a test where players had 4 minutes to shoot 100 enemies, camera participants would progress normally, but if they got nervous, the game would speed up and would have less time to shoot. Which I thought was a really interesting concept. It completely reacted to your how you were feeling about the game and stuff like that. When it came to eye tracking iteration of Portal 2, the controls apparently worked well, but also necessitated separating aiming and viewpoint to ensure it worked. With Valve already involving itself in wearable computing, it should make both notions easier to accomplish if it decides to bring either experience to fans.
I don't know about you, but I totally daydreamed through that.
No, I picked it up. So, hang on. When you're sweating more because you're panicking, it cruelly throws more stuff at you.
Yep.
Whereas if you go in kind of totally emotionally devoid and dead, very much like our friend Mr. Chisholm here. sorry, it was the word friend that confused you, wasn't it?
She's just simply.
This is becoming a sweary episode. So if you
just
go
because
in,
it'll group it together, Paul.
You know, I have these. I have these post-it notes that I sit and scribble all the swear words down. And I would hate somebody to just kind of come across and go through my bin, and they just find a pile of post-it notes that just said 142, 1427,
with an X next to it. Well, things like bum hag are like.
Anyway, sorry. Carry on, Sam.
So the worse you are at it, the more it punishes you.
Yeah.
And presumably you're just going to sweat.
That in a month.
The more it throws at you, the more you're going to sweat.
Yeah.
So what, does it end up just being
death? But I like them experimenting with this kind of stuff, because this kind of stuff is more interesting to me than the Wii Motion and stuff like that for like kind of more hardcore games.
I wonder what it does if you just sit there and just crap yourself. I wonder what it'll throw at me.
Tank!
It's gonna be pretty harsh. I'm just going to play a bit of Xbox, Chase. I just put my rectal thermometer in.
Oh, dear. Right, and finally...
Is that how you tell when you've had a crap?
Normally I just shove the dildo in, but... You know.
Not much stuff comes in my body, I can never tell.
It only just goes into the bag.
Which you then use to throw at squirrels.
Old people.
Killed Paul.
Somebody talk about Grand Theft Auto.
Something's happening with Grand Theft Auto.
They've released more infos and new trailers on the characters. And games that brought up buying property. Basically everything I loved about Vice City and San Andreas... It's more of that, but better, but less of having to go to the gym and crap like that.
Yeah, I heard of bored of all that.
And
you can still get haircuts and tattoos and stuff like that.
But they're optional. But it's also got skills. The only thing I'm a bit iffy on is it's Michael seems to have like a Max Payne sort of bullet time thing you can do. But I'll wait until I play the game before I judge that.
What I would quite like? Is if like you got your character heavily tattooed, and then all the little old ladies in the crowds kind of cross the road to walk on the other side when you're coming down the pavement.
Yeah, on that, apparently there's 5 times more pedestrians. I don't know about you, but I really struggle to drive down the street in Grand Theft Auto without killing somebody, and I'm not going to kill 5 times.
I'm just San Andreas, LA, the roads are generally wider there than not. Then
yeah, it's possible.
But that's me just maybe assuming, though.
Yeah.
But
it does look really interesting. Yeah,
from the details they've launched out, there's various other things there. I'll pick up mine with the top of my head. That looks pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Are we need to pause to answer your front door?
Somebody just got
Shall
my
I just
door?
Go and do it while you're talking about
Grand Theft Auto? Yeah.
Because I have no input.
Podcast first. is there any other details on that page that caught your interest?
Yeah, there was the underwater thing.
You've been handed sweets again. It's just corners.
This episode's going all over the joint. So there was the underwater thing.
Yeah, and that was fantastic. Like the fact that you can actually find treasure. It's not mapped out, but you can randomly, and you're not the only, but the NPCs will be down there looking for treasure and stuff like that. And
it does say there's not huge amounts of treasure, but it's worth it. And when you climb into some boats...
Did you stab them up?
Not unusual for me, but I got to the door. There was a little girl there. I opened it and she ran away. Happens a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, there's posters up about you right now.
So you climb into some boats and there's some, like...
God, are we still talking about it?
No, I think we're nearly finished. Yeah. But there's a list. We'll put a list, actually. There's pretty much everything that we currently know... or rather that anybody currently knows, CVG have compiled a list of, so we'll put a link in the show notes.
The only thing I'm thinking is, because it's September, and it's a couple months before the new consoles, and I'm just wondering if there's rumoured that a PC version is in development. If it's a month after the consoles, I'll probably wait until the PC version just for the better graphics and stuff, although as much as Grand Theft will tempt me and drive me mad to wait that extra month. And at the same time, I'll probably be buying a new console, at least one or both of them at some point. Whether or not it'll get ported to them, I don't know. I say they've not released that yet. I'd like to think so, but we don't know.
Yeah, it's due the 17th of September as it stands just now, which is kind of annoying from my point of view. Because that's my wife is pregnant and she's due on the 17th of September.
Baby cage. Does
well, it my talk? Thought is that...
You've got the wife cage set up.
You don't really have to get involved. It's like when we were thinking about getting Ellie done, my dog done, like the bits.
Are you comparing your dog to his child?
There was people trying to persuade us to keep her whole and allow her to have puppies and stuff. And
I've noticed you, but you've become one of these sad people that post nothing but stuff about your dog.
Yeah, I don't know. If you go on and check my last three posts, actually they were all about gaming.
None have been dogs.
No.
Have they?
I haven't done anything about it.
Anyway, we've got 10 minutes left.
The mother looks after the puppies for the first kind of month and a half. Just does everything for them, like licks up their poo and everything. Is that not what the same with humans?
Does
Kirsty not basically do everything for the first month or so?
We'll wait and see.
You just have to bring her cups of tea. So you'll have loads of time.
Anyway, in an effort to try and push this podcast along...
She'll be in too much pain to chase you as well. She won't be able to walk that well.
Chiz, what are you looking forward to coming up in the next wee while?
Let me check what I've put in the note.
Deadpool.
As in
the Marvel character?
Yeah, he's got a game coming out. Yeah. And if you know anything about Deadpool, he's just a total mentalist, but quite an amusing and funny character. And the game does look like it's bonkers. This is like a hack and slash game, but whether or not it'll be any good, I don't know. But it's made by the same go folk who made the fairly decent Transformers games recently. So hopefully it'll be good. But in the sense of humour, hopefully they've got that right. But no one's listening here, clearly.
I'm listening.
No, we're listening.
So what were you doing?
You're hoping they got the sense of... I was trying to fart. So you're hoping they've got the sense of humour. Right.
It matches your concentration face then.
Yeah.
But I suppose there's not much more to tell than that. If you know Deadpool, he is quite a crazy and funny character. If done well, quite a funny character. And he speaks, he usually breaks kind of the fourth wall and speaks to the actual its readers of the comics in a weird way, while everyone else is kind of appalled and disgusted by him.
Yeah.
So,
be interesting.
Hopefully it'll be a...
Should be quite good.
Yeah. Humour in a game is usually hit and miss. Hopefully this is a hit.
Cool. And Sam?
Neverwinter. I think I actually put...
Is there a third one of that coming out?
Yeah. I think I actually put Neverwinter Nights in there, but it's just called Neverwinter.
Right.
I have to say, I don't really know that much about it.
Well, that's what we're looking for in this show.
I've played the previous games, and I quite enjoyed them, although I like the first one more than I like the second one.
Right. Cool.
My kind of game. Been... Loved that kind of stuff since I think the first game I ever really got into was like Baldur's Gate, and yeah, cool. Love that kind
of game. There's never been that's one game it's kind of been looking for
Baldur's Gate actually.
A new Baldur's Gate or something.
They are doing one.
Yeah, they are doing one, and it's actually supposed to be on like every platform, so iPad, PS3.
It's not too
PC,
far in the distance,
like
I think.
Yeah, I actually think it's been pushed back. I was sure it was due out by now.
Yeah,
but we'd have to look into that. But I don't actually have anything for preview. I could try and tell you that, you know, I've researched it thoroughly and I haven't found anything I'm looking forward to. But the truth is, I
did
just
tell you to do
Watch
Dogs, but you've
like
totally
that.
Forgotten what that game is at all.
Yeah.
Even though we've definitely talked about it.
We
have.
Remember I think it was a couple of months back now, or maybe almost a month, you did Warhammer Quest.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the release date was for that?
Oh, No. Right, okay, I'll have a look for it. Actually,
we should probably do this while not on the show. It's not that interesting.
Actually, I think I didn't mention that on the show because that was the episode that died because I overwrote it. So okay. I never actually mentioned it.
Well, you can do that then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Crest. It's coming out on iOS stuff.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be released quarter two 2013. So that's fine.
We're not far from done.
We aren't, yeah, we've got a month left of quarter two. So it was Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, and it was due... Oh, it's actually out on the iPad already.
Well, there you go.
It's also...
It's not out on Android yet.
You should get that, though.
A proper actual...
There's a PC version coming out as well.
And Mac.
Oh, it's out?
It's out on Windows and Mac.
Oh, Mac. I might actually go and get that.
Anyway, so... I'm going to move on to playing this week because I've actually played two games this week and neither of them are Minecraft. Well, actually, I played a lot of Minecraft as well.
Get on with it.
So, I downloaded Hotline Miami.
It's good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And one of the things that I enjoyed most about it was really, really unforgiving. You screw up even by a millisecond and you will die.
It doesn't stop being fun, though. Yeah. It's one of those games you die and it doesn't frustrate you. You just kind of laugh and go, right, I can do that better.
You know what I didn't like about it? One of the things that would continuously annoyed me was all the mouse seemed to do was point you in a direction. And I would have quite liked, you know, like you had to say up, down, left, right, to go down or left and hold
I was
down.
Using a pad for it. So.
Ah, right, okay. Well, if you're using the mouse, all the mouse seems to do is just direct your body, which kind of helps for fighting.
Which is what the right stick does in the pad.
So. Yeah, but when you're using keyboard controls did just do like your four axes.
Yeah.
Which I found a little bit annoying.
Your mouse is just your aiming, like you're aiming.
Yeah.
Like
you've got but then again, if you've got locked onto somebody, it's irrelevant. So the mouse almost was kind of like, oh, this isn't really worth it. It was, don't get me wrong. That was maybe a little bit extreme, but yeah, I quite enjoyed it. But off the back of that, because I signed up to GOG.com to buy the game because it was quite cheap, they've now started
saying... Did you do this through the link Chris sent?
Yeah, for GOG. I've started sending me emails on a weekly basis of like really, really cheap games. And to be fair, the majority of them I have never heard of in my life before. But there's quite a few kind of older games. And what's even better is there's quite a few older games that either were created for the Mac and I just didn't know at the time, or have been ported over the Mac. And so I got SimCity 2000, which is working on my Mac really nicely. And it's not advanced as current SimCity games. The graphics aren't fantastic, but
it works just... when you're not online.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So it's better than modern SimCity games. So I've been playing that as well and really enjoying it. And I got it on GOG for, it was like £2 or something like that. And really good game.
Sweet.
It's worth the £2.
How far are you into Hotline Miami?
Oh, I'd say I have the tiger, the owl, the chicken, and another couple.
Richard.
I can't remember. I've got 5 or 6 masks.
I think possibly my favourite so far is Don Juan, which is the horse, which means if you hit people with a door, they die instead of getting just banged over, which comes in really handy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite gruesome, I thought. And I've completed the game, and even still, I'm hazy on the story because But I think I've got the gist of it, and I won't ruin it for everyone. But it's good, like the plot's kind of over the place, and a bit of like messes with your head a bit. But it's just a good, fun, solid retro, old style game, really well done with fantastic music as well, music that. For example, I wouldn't listen to for just for music, but it suits the game perfectly.
It does. It sounds very like it comes off of a Quentin Tarantino film.
It just sounds like a mix of 80s, which it's set, and old-style retro gaming.
Like, yeah, I quite like there's a NES in your bedroom.
Yeah.
When you wake up.
Although it's purple and green.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely a NES.
It's a NES, yeah.
There's, later on, I'm sure in somebody else's room, there's a Commodore 64 as well. But yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very good game. I enjoyed it immensely. Even though it's quite gory and bloody, but...
Stopped playing it on the train. Yeah. I was coming back from London last week, and I thought...
While swearing at your son right now. Yeah, take that!
I was coming back on the train last week from London, and it was quite a busy train, and I thought, it's a great opportunity to sit and play Hotline Miami. Not knowing anything about it or anything like that, I fired it up. And the first bit where you kind of break in the door.
Were you wearing headphones or was everyone?
No, I was wearing headphones, yeah. But there was like a guy sitting to my left. And you break in the door. And people on a train, naturally, I do as well. Your eyes, if you're sitting not doing anything, reading a book, your eyes just kind of drift.
a lot of sort of flashing thing in that screen.
And probably attracted his attention. And I was very aware that he was sitting watching the game I was playing. And then I burst in through the door, and then you're smacking the guy off the floor, and then his head just kind of go pop.
Yeah, because if you knock someone over in the game, rather than actually killing them outright, they'll get back up. So you have to walk up to them, press a button to go down them, and then repeatedly hit the button to basically smash their brains in to finish them off. And yeah, it's quite violent and gory, but unforgiving. But it's the fact it's like 8-bit-ish, sorry, not quite 8-bit, but you know, it's that sort of style graphics where it's not too gory.
Kind of gets away with it.
It gets away, but it's still a gory game, for not for people who are outraged by that sort of stuff, but then again, you shouldn't be outraged. It's just
So I stopped playing it and went on to my bargain basement game, so which is a slightly less gory. So anyway, Chiz, what have you been playing?
You've been playing
Hotline Miami.
Yeah, that as well. But you've mentioned it, so it's cool. But also been playing. I got from Love Film Halo Anniversary, which I've been meaning to download, well, buy for a while. Which I think, even though I've completed now, I'll still buy. But the still stands up to be one of the best games. Even now, it's still a fantastic game. And I remember when I started up, I thought, the graphics haven't changed that much for the anniversary. But what I love about it, if you press the back button, it reverts the graphics back to the original Xbox graphics, and it does it in-game, which is fantastic. I don't know how they've done it, but it's fantastic. And you realise, you go, Christ, they have improved the graphics. It makes you think, actually, you look back in a lot of games through its rose-tinted glasses. When you see people for mentioned games, oh, the graphics look rubbish. The old game had better graphics. No, it didn't. Your brain's tricking you. You're thinking it was better than what it was. But absolutely fantastic game. Complete it on Heroic on my first playthrough, and I'm going to say it about Love Film, but I think I'm going to track down a copy and possibly get your brother to buy it and do a nostalgia-fueled trip of me and him playing through it in Legendary like we did our very first playthrough when we first picked it up, because that was probably the first game I played in co-op, especially through the Singapore campaign, and when the best changed my idea of games forever. That was absolutely fantastic.
Cool. Sam?
I played the Knife of Dunwall DLC for... I've forgotten the name of the game.
Dishonored.
And what was the other thing?
Use your concentration phase.
Viking. Viking was gash, and I don't want to talk about it. So moving swiftly on.
Could use it as a borrowing basement game, maybe.
Yeah, we could do, except it's on Steam, so I'm stuck with it. Knife of Dunwall. Yeah, it's pretty good. Enjoyed it. Cheers kind of spoke about it last time a bit.
He plays Dowd there.
Yeah.
Assassin that kills
the Empress. Quite funky. I thought, although Cheers didn't agree, but I actually thought they ramped up the hardness on it. I was trying to play through without killing anyone at all.
Yeah, it'd be harder doing that.
Which I haven't done before. So,
on my first playthrough, I've just went and murdered everyone. Because it's a good way to learn the levels. So when I do my stealth playthrough of not killing anyone, I'll have a better idea how to do it. Anyway, sorry, Sam, continue.
That was pretty much it. Not much to add to what you said last week. I really enjoyed it, though. It's worth a buy. And, it's not too expensive. And, it's still an awesome game.
It's basically three levels, fairly large levels. The first two are very good. The last level, I would say, isn't that great. But it sets up the story for the second part, because it's a two-parter, so which I assume there'll be another three levels in the second part to it, which will be out later on in the year. But I really enjoyed it, and also got to fight against some new sort of bad guys, which were, it's the Whalers, who have got the massive saws that they used to cut. I was playing on Steam, and it was really
playing a what, sir?
I was playing on Steam.
Oh, right, okay.
And, you definitely said semen. Totally said semen, there, Paul. Well picked up.
If that happened when I was playing it, it's not my fault. And
you were really quite enjoying it then, yeah?
Splashback, I was fine. And
right, anyway,
continue.
Can I do the UK2 ad now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
go on, man.
This podcast and all others on the British Tech Network are provided by UK2.net. They're absolutely superb for any kind of web services or anything like that you want. VPN, VPS, domains, everything like that. Domains, you get 20% off. I don't think there's anybody else that does 20% off domains. Absolutely superb. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you'll see a whole bunch of voucher codes and things like that there. Please, please, please come through the British Tech Network and click on the link in there, because it gives us the kudos for them, for us sending you there instead of you being able to find all the codes and stuff like that off of voucher sites. So really appreciate it. So that's UK2. They support British tech, and we hope that you would support them too. You are just butchering that caterpillar now. What are you doing?
What are you doing? You're skinning it rather than...
off the top. I don't want the actual cake. I didn't like the cake.
Such a child. Right. On to the Bargain Basement Challenge. Sam, so you had some American football game. What was it?
I brought it back.
It's there. Which you can't reach because your headphones.
NFL Tour.
And how did you enjoy that?
And I can vouch, well, although unless he set up when I went over to his house before coming over here, he had to take it out from his Xbox to put it in the box. So it was at least maybe switched on.
So he powered it up.
I actually tried to record myself playing it because I didn't think anyone would believe that I actually played it. But
mysteriously, it didn't work.
No, it just turned into me swearing a lot, so...
Nice.
There's no point same for it.
When you're recording yourself... playing the game, either goes two ways where you're saying mundane crap all the time, or it's just silence of you breathing and going.
It was mostly just me swearing. I don't know. I played two games. I actually won the first one. Well, I don't know how I won the first one.
Just randomly mashing buttons.
No, the only button I pressed was the directional stick and the button A.
All right. Okay.
So what are the rules to American football?
I've got a freaking clue. You walk, or you jog. You jog, because you never get up to a run. So you jog forward about 3 feet, and then someone hits you. And then you have to choose from about a gazillion different elaborate plans. And you choose one. And I found choosing them at random either confused the computer enough to allow me to win, or
see,
I don't know.
I would have...
From what I remember for the man games, it was when you actually went to the offensive plays you could do, it was just like, all right, Steve, now walk like a crab. Dave, dance very, very extravagantly.
I had no idea what any of it meant.
I actually think if you... this is never going to happen, but
no,
just theoretically.
Not.
If you were actually looking at American football, I think of all sports, you probably would quite enjoy it, because it's all about strategy and tactics and game plans, and it's lots and lots and lots of little battles to win the overall war, and that's how American football is played.
But there's no fluidity in it.
But that's because there are lots of
yeah,
tiny little
like
battles. I think you...
It lasts about 4 or 5 hours as well.
I like snooker. I do. I freaking love snooker. I caught it on the telly the other day. It's amazing.
Awesome. Right, cheers.
Is that sarcasm?
No, I full on like snooker.
Cheers.
Did you see the guy got stacked shocks all the time? I thought it was quite funny. He was playing snooker and he kept getting stacked shocks off the table.
Oh,
so he asked for the carpet to be watered.
Oh, me and snooker. See? It's
brilliant. Oh, man. It was just... Yeah.
So, cheers. You had Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the disc didn't work. I went to play it badly gashed.
Is it?
I went to play it last night because I thought, well, I'll play it soon to the podcast, so it's fresher in my memory anyway. I played it a few weeks ago, I might have noticed. But the disc was covered in fingerprints and gunk anyway. So whoever had the game last is a dirty git. So put in, it loaded up, and I thought, all right, maybe it is going to be fine. But just when it actually was about to play, it flash up saying disk error.
Went
to install it, got to 96%, and then came up with the same error, so I wasn't able to play it. Which is kind of annoying, because I remember playing the demo for the first one, because I think that's the sequel to the first one. Amazingly just called Brothers in Arms. And I actually thought it was quite a solid little game, but I never got around to actually playing the full game, so I was actually quite looking forward to playing that.
Mm.
I'll maybe track down a copy for another time.
Yes. Very cool. I had DLC Quest from Steam, and so, as I alluded to before, I played it on the train.
You completed it, you said, as
well. I completed it in 40 minutes.
So it means if it's DLC Quest, that's probably the standard length of DLC, so it makes sense.
I was really disappointed. I mean, it wasn't like an earth-shattering game by any stretch of imagination.
I never thought it would.
It was an entertaining little ditty.
We purposely try and find the worst games for each other.
It wasn't awful, but the fact that it only lasted 40 minutes, and it probably would have been even quicker, but I was on the train, I was bored, so I was maybe taking a little bit longer, did a little bit more investigating than I probably would have done. But yeah, 40 minutes, gone.
So what was the game? What is the style of game genre?
So it's a platformer. It's just scroll left and right platformer.
As in flat sort of Mario style?
Yeah, very much flat Mario style. controls are a bit clunky. I kept falling off of platforms because the controls were either quite sensitive or not sensitive enough. So at some occasions, it wasn't the best game in terms of that. But the whole idea behind it was quite interesting. So you start off the game and there is no sound. You can only move to the left or to the right, and that's it. When the game first starts, you can't jump, you can't interact with anything. You move along, and on the way, moving along on the right, and there's no animation as well. Your character just is constantly stuck in his pose of kind of like, as if he's kind of stepping once forward. As you move along, you collect 5 stars, and then you meet this guy who's got a little like truck thing, and you speak to him, and then he can sell you stuff for 5 stars, and well, things vary in amounts. And so basically you go through the game, you buy music for the game, you buy animation, you buy the ability to jump just by collecting stars through the game. You then, as the game goes on, you buy the ability to double jump, you buy the ability to use a gun, and so on and so forth. And that's about it. You just kind of move through the level, you collect stars. There is only like 2 levels. And you need a map to get to the second level, which obviously is DLC. There's also another one that turns everybody into wearing bikinis, which is, again, DLC. But as you go through the level, these stars become more and more prevalent. So you're able to, at the beginning, you were like really struggling to kind of drag together 10 stars to get the ability to jump. But then later on in the level, you need 400 stars for get a gun, and that took you seconds. You just walked into this bit, and then it was just full of stars. So I don't know how much you paid for it, but for 40 minutes gameplay,
really not very much.
Well, I mean, are we talking like more than a pound?
I can't remember.
It's like £2-3 or something.
Yeah. £3, I think, was a bit steep for that kind of game. When you look at this game, Dev Tycoon, which albeit we haven't played it yet, based on reviews and things like that, you assume it's a fairly hefty game for $8, which is like 6 or 7 quid.
I'm not seeing anything yet, but
yeah, it's been fairly positive on the Windows Store. Cool. It's 4.7 stars out of 5. When you look at that, and that's like maybe twice the price. And it's quite an in-depth game. And you look at like Angry Birds, which is what, £1.69? And that lasts a long time. This game was 40 minutes at a stretch for £3.
When you're looking on the Steam store, you are quite limited to what you can get.
Yeah, I know. I was a bit disappointed quid. I don't know I should be, because it's a bargain basement game, but yeah.
Yeah. £3 and on Mac.
So, anyway, that was it. I would not recommend it to anyone. Unless you've got £3 to spend and you're quite interested in that whole kind of taking the mick out of DLC, fine. But that's about all it's useful for.
Paul stars does it get out of 5?
How many anuses out of 5?
Yeah, right. Okay. that's what a Paul star is, Paul, an
is
anus.
Is that your anus or is that someone else's anus? Our anuses.
No, I was like a 2, maybe. Ah, I just got an electric shock in my ear.
It's because you dropped the stapler.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's electric.
Right, okay, so this week, here's your bargain basement choices. Place your hand in my sack, Chiz.
Oh, it's wet. All right, that's all right, not too bad. I've got Forza Motorsport, which
Thank
I think...
God, I didn't get that.
Which I think I've played before. It's a bundle copy.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, another sports game.
Are they all sports games?
Sam has Beijing 2000.
I just went
every
in and bought
every single sport Sam loves to watch combined into one glorious game.
I can't.
You
even
haven't even got the good bit where you can pervert the gymnasts.
Oh dear! Right, okay. What have I got?
It's so soul destroying when you masturbate the polygons as well.
I thought you were getting him something. Did you know?
Oh, yeah. If you, it's another one off Steam called Receiver.
Receiver.
Yeah. Might want to quickly look that up while Sam entertains you with a bit of music.
Boo, 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 boo.
Steam Greenlight Receiver.
Don't interrupt my Beijing music.
Greenlight's the indie sort of thing that users can greenlight or
boo,
not.
Boo, boo, boo.
So, successfully reloading a gun for the first time through sheer muscle memory is easily one of the greatest feelings in gaming. Receiver was created for the 7-day FPS challenge to explore gun handling mechanics, randomized levels, and unordered storytelling. Armed only with a handgun and an audio cassette player, you must uncover the secrets of the minekill in a building complex infested with automated turrets and hovering shock drones. That looks actually quite interesting.
Cause,
that does actually sound quite good.
Yeah. Well, the way the gun handles will handle not the same to your standard FPS, I'm told. So
right, okay.
Be an interesting test for you, experiment for you.
Cool. Okay. Grant, I will report back.
I shall gift that to you over the next couple of days.
Superlative gentleman. Okay, okay. One last thing to mention is the Bash. So the Bash is the weekend of the 6th of July. You can head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com and buy your tickets. And that's it. No, it's £20. That is not an entry fee. £20 is actually your... basically, it's paying for all the food and drink that we're going to eat there up front. So you need to kind of confirm a caterer and a bar and all that kind of stuff beforehand. And so paying that £20 kind of gives them an idea as to who's all going to need to be involved. Or who's all going to attend and things like that. So... there's also a curry the night before, on the Friday the night before. What are you two doing?
Communicating to the mime.
Yeah, sign language.
Right, okay. There's a curry the night before in a curry house in Birmingham, not far away from, where we're staying anyway. Or should we tell people where we're staying?
No.
We don't want mobbed afterwards.
No. Florin Cakes is still to track me down.
With all our screaming fans.
He might live near Birmingham, so...
At the Bash, so we'd love you to come along. At the Bash, what we're going to do is we're going to have a quiz. So it's going to be a replay of the Christmas quiz. And basically, Chiz is going to take on four teams made up of people at the Bash and captained by Sam and three other players to be named at a later date.
I'm still undecided if I'm going to wear a victory cape or poncho.
Chiz and I are doing fancy dress.
Are you really?
You're not, are you?
No.
So you're naked, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Mankini.
Yes. Right, you've said it now. It's on the air.
Show. I'm not
tough. Mother hubbarding.
If you're going to be naked, there's only two options. We either have to glue more hair to you or shave you all off.
So, we're having a quiz.
Or could make a half and half like a revel.
Oh, that would be good.
So we're having a quiz. So start to think about if you want to come along, you're going to have to join one of these teams. Do you want to accompany Sam in the PC and Mac team?
No.
Or the other teams that we're going to have is the more kind of non-gamer gamers.
Really, so far it just seems to be my team and then teams that you haven't expanded on at this point.
No, the other three teams are. You ready?
And who are the team captains of these
teams? I'm still 100% confirmed that they're going to do it.
My slightly angrier personality and then my really furious personality.
So there's Sam heading up the Mac and PC gaming team.
Right.
There is another person heading up the console team, so that's PlayStation and Xbox team. There's another person heading up retro gamers team, and there is another person heading up the social gamers team. So that's basically everybody else that plays like Angry Birds on their iPhone or has a 3DS or something.
Which team is Ewan running? I think he should be.
I agree. I have still to ask him to be one of the... Ewan, I'm going to speak to you about being one of the team captains.
Ewan, I want you to captain one of the teams. Can you do one of the slightly worse teams than mine?
All the captains have to be in fancy dress as well.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's it for this week. Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Paul Wheatley. You can also find Sam on Twitter at Dr. Nasty Flaps. Chiz is allergic to social networking. That was our show. We will see you. Actually, should mention that we're going to. Sorry, this show's dragging on a wee bit. The next show should be coming out the weekend of the 19th, but because the Microsoft announcement's on the 21st, we're pushing the show back to the 22nd, so don't expect the show out on the 19th. It'll be midweek the following week, so the 22nd or the 23rd. And that's us, and we will see you then. Cheers, and have a lovely evening.
Bye.